6th chapter and verse number 19. And the title of this part of the message is Treasures in Heaven. Treasures in Heaven. Treasures in heaven are permanent. Treasures on earth are not permanent. If you study the stock market crash of 1929 and then 1987, and at other times in the history in the 1890s, you'll see that people that were very wealthy, that had lots of property, homes and everything, lost everything they had in the stock market crashes. And Jesus talks about the stock market crash. The stock market crash. When you put all of your treasures on earth, the stock market is always going to crash at the end of your life. May thesaurizete himen thesaurus epites geis hupo seis kai grosseis a phonise kai hupo klepte de erer rusosin kai kleptosin. Not ye treasure. Don't build treasures to yourselves. Treasures upon the earth. Where? Moths. Moths can destroy a beautiful garment. My wife's mother had lots and lots of beautiful clothing. Just more than anything I've ever seen. More than there are in many department stores. 600, 800 pair of shoes and thousands upon thousands of suits of clothes. And some of the ones that she had back in the 30s, when everybody else was starving to death, she was wearing very, very expensive clothing. And she put a lot of these clothes in suitcases and stored them. And I opened up the suitcases when we were cleaning house to get rid of a lot of the things that weren't needed. Clothing that was worth a fortune had been ruined by moths. Holes all through them, just like wormholes, just all over through the clothes. It was destroyed. We put it in the trash can. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of clothes. Moths can destroy good garments, especially of wool. And wool is the best that you can clothe yourself with, is wool. 100% wool suits. I think this suit here is at least partially wool. It might be 100% wool. But moths can destroy them. I wear them out. They're worn out before the moths can get to them. Sometimes the moths get to them. And rust, brosis. Brosis means something that eats and corrodes. Something that eats and corrodes. And removes. Rust and removes. And where thieves, they dig through. They used to build their houses out of mud many times back in these days. And they would adobe houses and houses that were built out of stones with mud between them. And they would come up there when people were gone and they would dig through the wall and get into the house. And they would steal. You go up to your house and there's a big hole in it. My son was telling me here a while back, he said about gun safes, people buy gun safes, put valuables in and everything. Well, one of his friends bought a very elaborate gun safe and put it on the outside wall of the house. And some thieves had gone there. These were professional thieves. They pulled up to the house in a truck with a dolly on it. And they knocked a hole in the wall of the house on both sides, went in through the window and put a chain through and around the safe. And tore the safe through the wall of the house with this truck and drug it down the road until they had to where they had another lift, and they lifted up on that, and they went, and then they began to cut it open with a cutting torch. If they ruined some things, it wouldn't matter, because they got the most of the stuff that was in the gun safe. But people will steal like that. The idea is to put your treasures where moths, nor rust, or kleptusen there, that is to steal, where people can't steal your treasures. 16 or 6 and verse 20. Thesaurizete de himen thesaurus en uranu hupo ute seis ute brosis aphanise kai hupo kleptai u de rususin ude kleptusen. You lay up. You make treasures. And it starts off with a little weak adversative conjunction. Moreover, you make treasures for yourselves. Treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. This heaven that's talking about here is the abode of God. Treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust. The moth, the little zace, nor brosis, it removes. It takes away, aphanizo. It carries off. And where thieves, robbers, klepte, not, they dig through, neither they steal. There aren't any thieves allowed in heaven, by the way. There are not going to be any people in heaven stealing from you. There won't be any thieves in heaven to take what you have, the treasures, because in heaven is total righteousness and the God of glory. Hupo gar estin ho thesaurus su eke este kai he cardia su. For where it is the treasure of you, there, in that place, that's a little adverb of place there, okay. There in that place, it shall be also the heart of you. Wherever you have the most treasure, that's where your heart is. I want to express something to you, all of you out there. That websites, or the websites that we have, SermonAudio.com/DTW, DiscoverTheWord.com, the old original one's been up over 20 years, and DiscoverTheWordWithDrJim.com, those are all treasures. Treasures. Mm-hmm. Those treasures went up there. There are treasures. There's a library of over 4,000 MP3s, I think 4,020 something, close to 4,030, and 2,700 videos. Those 2,700 videos went up at $2 a piece. And there was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in recording equipment and CDs and DVDs and VHSs and hi-8 tapes and all of that over all of these years. And this we did for you out there. Mm-hmm. There is a fortune of treasures out there on discovertheword.com. And all of the sites, websites that go with it. That's for you. That you might enjoy studying God's Word with us and with all of the teachers that I have and all the ones I've got more to do. When we finally get moved up here in Nevada, I've got probably 300 or 400 more audio lessons from legends that I'm going to put on CD and put out there. For you, so that you can enjoy that treasure. That treasure is for you. It's a treasure house. Where your treasure is, there is going to be, and that place is going to be your heart also. It was my desire to make it possible for people all over the world to study God's Word just exactly like they were going into a seminary. And the seminary classes that I went to are on there, many of them. Not all of them, but many of them. And all of the classes that I've done in Greek and Hebrew, which were the same things that I took in Greek and Hebrew, I want to tell you that we never covered the whole book of Genesis in the Hebrew classes that I went to. But all the whole book of Genesis is out there in Hebrew reading and research. We never covered the book of Exodus. Nearly all the book of Exodus is out there, Greek, Hebrew reading and research. All the books in the New Testament, except the finishing of the book of Matthew and the book of Acts, is all out there for you can listen, just like you were in a seminary class. That's a treasure. That's my treasure to you. That's Randall Vandenhoek's treasure to you. That was our webmaster for many years. He's still working on it. Pray for him. Marilyn putting up with me and supporting me all these years in my endeavors to do this. This is our treasure that we built for you and for the glory of God. The treasure in the heavens. 622 now. Let's go back and read the last few verses from the Amplified Bible. Verse number 21. No, verse number 19. Verse number 19 is where we'll start. I was about to choke, so I thought I'd better take a drink. Do not gather and heap up and store for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust and worm and consume and destroy, where thieves break through and steal. Verse number 20. But gather and heap up and store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is in that place, there shall your heart be also. Mm-hmm. Now we go on to another little metaphor. We studied about treasures. Now let's study about light. Light. And the eye. Ho lichnos tu somatos. Esten ho ophthalmos. Eon un a ho ophthalmos su a plus. Holon ton soma. Su photenon este. The light of the body, it is the eye, the ophthalmos. We have ophthalmologists with the optometrist here. This comes from this word right here. Ho ophthalmos, the eye. If therefore it may be the eye of you single, huplos, single. Now this is a third class conditional particle, and it's ruled by that little old A there, which is a third-person singular, present, subjunctive, active, to-be verb. If, therefore, if, condition undetermined but with prospect of fulfillment, if, therefore, may be the I of you, single, perfect, honest, not a double-tongued, not a double-talking person. The entire whole body of you, shining, light-giving, radiant, and illuminating, it shall become for itself. Now, as you see this, you see the light of truth. The light of truth. A preacher, a Christian that is speaking forth the true word of God, is a beacon in this world. And in his eyes is life. In his eyes is life. And he speaks the truth. And he practices the truth for you. A long time ago, before Christ, no, it was after Christ, there was a king, a Persian king, that went out to conquer surrounding lands from him. And this Persian king had a great white jewel. The jewel was a great white pearl that was so perfect and beautiful and brilliant, and he wore it in his ear. The king did. This Iranian king, he was Aryan. They called themselves of Aryan ancestry, and they were perfect. He told stories about his life and his ancestors. One of them went all the way back to one they called the Demon King, that the Demon King went out with the power of demons and conquered all the lands around Persia. It talked about all of the history and the legends of his family. And he went out to reestablish that history, and he got into a foreign land. And he had great war horses, like they had in England, where they had long lances, and they had mail, and they had armor on the horses and on themselves. And he was going to go out and establish himself, and a lot of his ancestry was fabricated. It was a lie. But people were believing it. And he went after this nation. And they were out there in front, and they saw them coming, and they began to flee. And he went off charging with these thousands of troops. You couldn't see the beginning and the end of these troops. And he went after the foe, the people that he thought were running from him. And when he got to the place and he was leading his troops with his fiery horse and armor and long spear, and he was going after them, and all of a sudden his horse fell through a false bottom floor. They had dug a great, big, wide trench, and these thousands, tens of thousands of warriors on their war horses with their armor, they had taken and they got on the other side of this trench. This was about 400 AD, I believe. And they had covered it with sand lightly, and they had all kinds of reeds on this. So they took off like they were afraid. And this war king with his war horse fell into the trench, the deep trench. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of horses and riders and warriors fell on top of him. They said that they found him and that he had ripped his own ear off to keep somebody from getting that treasure that he had in that gigantic pearl, that he ripped his whole ear off. Wow. With these mail gloves, he ripped his ear off, and that they found him with that pearl in his hand. Oh my goodness. Not only did he fail to conquer the people that he was going after, but the treasure that he had built, that great war horse and all this great war machine behind him, had all died and gone. It was gone. All of his treasures and that great pearl were all gone. It was no longer would be his ever. And the light of the body is the eye. If therefore it may be the eye of you single, honest, the entire body of you shining, it shall be. The foulness of lies and false religion has tainted the world from the beginning with Cain and Abel in the garden. Eon de ho ophthalmo si poneros e holon to soma su skotenon este e u to fos to en si scopo scotos esten to scotos poson. If the eye of you evil, look at that word poneros. If the ophthalmo su poneros, if your eye is evil, who had evil eyes in the times of Jesus? The high priest, the leader of the people, the scribes, the county clerks, the legal leaders and representatives of the high priest and every synagogue. Their eyes were all evil. Most of those people would die with their sins. If the eye of you, it may be whole, the body of you dark. If the eye of you evil, it may be the entire body of you dark, spiritually darkness. Skotenon. Este a suon. It shall be since, therefore, the light in you is not light but darkness. It is. And the darkness, how great it is. The skotos poson. The darkness, how great it is. In the book of Jude, it talked about the thick darkness. The sophon skotia. In the book of Genesis, it says, after the earth had been destroyed, their darkness was over the face of the deep. It says, Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim we et ha'aretz. We ha'aretz, hathya tohu wohu. We hoshak el panei hamayim. We ruah Elohim el Amerikacheth el panei hamayim. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth, she became formless and void. And darkness was over the faces of the deep. It said, Spirit God mourned over and suffered over the faces of the waters. God wants to put your life back together. He wants to make you whole. He wants to make your lights, your eyes shine. It's a shining life upon the earth, but you must allow him to do that. Or your whole life and your whole future is darkness. Let's go back and read these couple of verses from the Amplified now. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. You'll be able to see where you're going. You won't be in darkness. You won't be groping. You won't be stumbling. You won't be stumbling. I have a little kitty here. We call her Monkey. When she was born, she looked like a little spider monkey. Her little eyes were really big, and so we named her Monkey. But as she went along, she's almost 3 years old now, we realized that she could not see very well. Maybe she can only see shadows. She bumps into things all the time. She just bumps into things like bumper cars all around and everything. Because she has no light. She has no pathway. She cannot see where she's going. How she has lived this long is only a gift of God to us and to her. Because she lives in darkness every day. Some people that are visually impaired live in darkness all the time. They have to have a cane. They have to have a guide dog. If you're in false religion, that guide dog that you're following, that cane you're following, is a false master. You need to follow the truth, the true light of God. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are sound, the entire body will be full of light. But if your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the very light in your conscience is darkened, how dense is that darkness? Verse number 24 now. These are all short metaphors. These are all short parabolic teachings. Udes dinate disi curiois du lene e gar ton hina misese kai ton heteron agapese e hinos anathexete kai tu heteron Kara phonese, u deneste theo, dulene, kai mamona. Mamona. Moreover, not one, he is able, two lords. Two masters, two lords. The word is kurios, to serve. Either, for either the one, he shall hate. That's it. He shall hate. And the other, he shall love, sacrificially. Or one, he shall hold on against, and the other he shall despise. He shall downmine him. He'll look down upon him. He said, not ye are able to God to serve. And the little Aramaic word, mamona. Mamona. Luke 16, 9 and 11. Mamona. That's a little Aramaic word. It means riches. It means wealth. It means grandeur. You're not able to serve God and hold on to all of the riches of the world. I'm reminded of Andrew Carnegie. Carnegie made millions of dollars in the steel industry. And he made millions and millions of dollars. But to get what he got, he destroyed many people's lives. He killed many people. They were killed by his business decision. They were dead. His family, their families were destroyed. He was a Presbyterian by religion. And he became so distraught about what he had done. God convicted him of the evil that he had done. The evil master that he had been. He went to his pastor and he said, what in the world can I do to make up for all that I've done wrong to the human race in this country? He said, well, one thing, people learn from books. You could establish libraries, so we have the Carnegie Libraries. Mm-hmm. And he established colleges where people could go. And he tried to make amends for what he had done. He could never call back the people that died in his steel mills and all the people who had been maimed and injured. It haunted him. But the libraries that he built helped families later. He was a Presbyterian. There was another great man, another very wealthy man, John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller, that was Standard Oil Company. Now, the election was bought in 1892 and 1896, I believe it was. The Republicans pretty much bought it. These great big generals of money told their workers that if the Democrats won, that they would shut their mills down, their factories, the railroads, coal industry, whatever. They were going to throw it away. They'd lose their jobs. This is history. This is factual history now. This is not baloney. This is not hearsay. This is what happened. Well, the Republicans put up their man, McKinley. They're going to go their way. But he made a bad choice, and they were afraid. They chose Teddy Roosevelt to be his vice president. And a lot of those big-time men, they said, you know what, fella? There's only one heartbeat between you and that cowboy. And that man got killed. He was assassinated. And that cowboy became president. That cowboy turned the industry of America around. Around. He fought for the little man. And America changed. America changed. The legacy that he handed down was an America they had not known before. An America with the sweatshops and with the factories where people were being killed daily. The federal food, FDA, was established. Their unions he backed to help people. The schools. The Baptist churches were educating people on Sunday because they had a day off. A lot of those people working 12 and 16 hour days, tired and sick and dying on the jobs. Teddy Roosevelt changed it. He gave electors. He gave them a legacy. He gave us a legacy. The what we call the sometimes the plans of mice and men fail. their plans backfired on them. Backfired. 625. You get a little world history and economics and Western civilization and everything else in these classes. Care and worry and anxiety. Dia tuto lego, himen, me mera menate, te psyche, himon, ti fagete, a ti piete, me de to, somati, himon, ti, and di seste, uke he se psyche, pleon esten tes trophes. Kai to soma tu en damatos. Long verses. Because of this, I say to you, not ye worry and be anxious and troubled. Now don't let your mind just be torn apart. That's what it means, divided. You can't concentrate. You got so many worries, you can't concentrate. For the life of you, for the soul of you, for your means of living, what ye may eat, fagete, neither. Now, atpiete, or what ye may drink, that actually is not in the original language. Somebody put it in there later. So it says, what ye may eat, nor for the body of you, what ye may clothe yourself in, not the soul more it is than the food and the body of the clothing. The soul is more important than something to bind around yourself, to throw around yourself. This is a beautiful verse. 26. Emble psate, esto patena, tu oranu, hote u sperusen, uthe therusen, uthe synagusen, eis apothekes, kai he pater himon, ho uranois, trefe auta, uk himes malon, deferete auton. You pay attention unto the birds, unto patena, unto the birds of heaven, because not they sow, neither they reap, neither they gather into the barn. And the Father of ye, the one, the Heavenly Father, the Heavenly One, he feeds them. And don't ye understand that you are more, rather, comparatively, carry more weight in value than they do. Don't you understand that? Down on the creek down there, it is very beautiful, especially in the summertime. In the wintertime, it's even beautiful with all the ice and things. But down there, Sharon gave to us a little plaque. And on that little plaque are these verses. Don't you understand that don't worry and whatever. They neither toil nor they reap nor they put things in barns. And I want you to understand about a sparrow, a bird. A sparrow's metabolism is 20 times greater than man's. So he has to eat 21 times more per ounce of body weight than a man would have to eat. So if God takes care of these little hungry birds, don't you think that he can take care of you? Verse number 27, Tis de ex himon, merimonon, dinate prosthene, epitain helekion, autu pecun, Hina. And anyone out of you being anxious or worried, he is caused to be able to add upon the stature of him a cubit one. Cubic, that's basically 17 half inches or 18 inches. Can you add 18 inches to your height? Well, if you get a bunch of steroids anymore, you might be able to do that and add a lot of weight to your arms. But no, you can't. Not able to. And then verse number 28, and concerning clothing. Oh, right. Kai peri edematos. Ti mere manete, kara mathete, ta krina tu agru pos. Oxo nusen, u kapoyusen, ude ne thusen. And concerning clothing, why do you worry? And why do you consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and how they neither labor nor spend? They do not labor, sweat, and suffer in the wild fields where you grow your food, the lilies of the valley. They don't either labor nor do they spend. Lego de himen hote ude Salomona en pesa te doxa auto peri balete hos en tuto. But I say to you that neither Solomon in all of his glory belonging to him, he was clothed. He clothed himself as one of these lilies of the valley. Verse number 30. A de ton corton tu agru. Se maron onta kai arion ace klibanon balomenon ho theos tutos amphia nusen. U polo malon himas ola ga pistoi. But since the grass of the field today, it's green. And tomorrow, it is dried out, and you use it for starting fire in the oven. It's being thrown in the oven. And the God, thus he clothes much more you of little faith. Don't you realize that God takes care of you and clothes you of little faith? Verse number 31, me un meri manete, lagontes ti phagomen, a ti piomen, a ti parablometha. And not therefore ye may be worried, your mind divided. You've got so many worries on your mind that you can't think straight. He probably wasn't over 70 years old, because we don't think straight anyway. When you're over 70 years old, you go where you're going and you can't remember why you went there. Saying what we may eat, or what we may drink, or what we may put on or throw around us. Number 32, Panta gar tauta ta ethne epi zo tusen. Uthen gar ho pater himon ho uranois, hote kresete tuton apan ton. For all these things, the ones nations, Gentiles, heathens, these heathens, they seek after. For he has known the Father of you, the one heavenly, the one in the heavens, that ye need these things entirely. Ze tete de proton ton tain basilion kai tain de kaiosunain auton gai tuto panta prostete setete himen. But seek after the first, the kingdom, and the righteousness of him. Seek after the kingdom of God, and then follow in the example of Christ's righteousness. And the word dikaiosune there also means that are what we called, that are added to, placed upon us, righteousness. We are covered and clothed with the righteousness of Him, our Christ, our Savior. The righteousness of Him, and these things all, it shall be added to you. Each one of them, each and every one shall be added to you. And the last verse in this message, me un meri manete, estain urion, hagar orion, meri manese, altes arketon, te hemera he kakia altes. Therefore, not ye may be nervous. Don't be of divided mind. For the purpose of the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow it shall be anxious for itself. For sufficient is the day, this evil day that we live in. We need to concentrate about the evil day we live in, this bad day. Our bad days. You worry about this bad day and God will take care of the next day. Let's go back and read this from the Amplified Bible now. Verse number 25. Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy and anxious and worried about your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body or what you shall put on it, is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. And aren't you a little more weighty in value than they are? And which of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure, 18 inches to his stature, or a span of his life, or 18 years to your life? Psalm 39, 5 through 7. And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his majesty, magnificence and eccles and dignity and grace was not arrayed like one of these little flowers. Not like one of them. 1 Kings 10, 4-7. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, full of life, and green, and tomorrow it is tossed into the furnace as fire starter, will he not much more clothe you, O ye men of little faith? Therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles and heathens wish and crave for and diligently seek after all of these things. And your heavenly Father well knows that you need all of them. Up here in Nevada, you have to have good clothes. You have to have warm shoes. You have to have warm socks. Or you will be in trouble. I remember when I was a little boy up here, living here in Fish Lake Valley, and we were poor. I went down to an old shack where an old man named Blackie was, and I found a pair of his cowboy boots that he left behind. He had died, and in that old shack was some cowboy boots, and it was all abandoned. I grabbed those cowboy boots. Now, they were a lot bigger than my feet, but I was wearing little old light shoes, and I was cold. So I got those cowboy boots, and it just so happened we had several pieces of cardboard and we had some old leather, and I put in the bottom of those boots. And remember, it's cold out here. And I stuck some old pieces of cloth in the end of them. And my feet were sliding around in there. I just put more cardboard in them. And that old man, Dad, it had been long ago, provided for me a pair of cowboy boots. And I was proud of those cowboy boots, just like they were brand new. And they kept my feet warm, even though they were about that long. He wore a size 12. I wore a size probably 8.5 or 9. But with padding, they worked and they kept my feet warm. Don't worry and be anxious about what you're going to have to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. For the Gentiles and the heathens, they diligently crave after these things, and your heavenly Father surely knows that you need them all. But seek or aim at and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all of the things taken together will be given to you besides more, plus more. So do not be worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties for its own. Sufficient is each day for the trouble that lies therein. This is quite a story that Jesus told his disciples and all those around him. He nailed the Pharisees. He KO'd them, knocked them out with what real righteousness was. Then he turned on his disciples and said, "Now, you people, who shall be greater, me or him, in your kingdom?" Jesus told them, "Don't worry about it. You just go on and do what you're supposed to do. And the Lord's going to take care of you. I shall take care of you later. Just do what you're supposed to do." And Peter, there at the Sea of Galilee, when he came out there and he denied the Lord three times, and he went out there on the boat and he came up and Jesus had food for him cooked on the shore, and he went up there and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, I like you a lot. You know that." And then the Lord asked him, "Do you love me again? Will you give your life for me?" And he said, "You know that I like you." And the third time, the Lord said to Peter, "Do you even like me?" And it made him sad. He used the word phileo there. The other one was agapeo. That will you sacrificially give your life for me? Do you love me that much? Peter kept someone saying, "I like you a lot. I like you." I tease my wife sometimes. She said, "I love you." And I said, "I like you a little bit too." That's what Peter kept saying to the Lord. He said, "Do you love me? Will you give your life for me?" He said, "I like you a little bit. You know I like you a little bit." And then the Lord finally said to him, "Do you really like me a little bit?" Peter was sad because he asked him the third time. And that time he said, "Do you like me?" And then he told Peter, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He said, "What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen?" He said, "Well, one of these days, you're going to be led where you want to go. Your arms are going to be stretched out. They're going to be nailed to a cross. You're going to give your life for me." Peter said, What, Lord? What did you say? What about him? How about John over there? Don't worry about John. You worry about you. What does it matter if I leave him alive until I come back again? John did take care of Mary, Jesus' mother. He appointed him as the one that would take care of his mother as his substitute. And John did live longer than all of those, but John died too. What has God got for you in your life? What has he got for you? What does God want you to do? I can just tell you this one thing. Wherever you are today, whatever you're doing, do the best you can for the Lord, and tomorrow God will get you where you ought to be. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to your people all over this world. I pray you that you touch their lives with it and that you heal their minds and their bodies and their souls. And please meet their necessities. I pray for all of them wherever they are that you help them. I thank you for the support that they send, those that do. And I pray that you bless them greatly for it. In Jesus' name, please forgive me where I fail you. We ask all of that for your name's sake, for your honor, and for your glory. Amen.